Hello, I'm John MacArthur. Glad you found Grace to You on podcast or streaming audio. I trust you'll be encouraged by today's lesson. Let us know what you think. Write to letters@gty.org and be sure to follow us on Facebook. Thanks for getting in touch. Now enjoy the broadcast.
It's been said that we live in the age of distraction, in which it's hard to focus for more than a few minutes at a time. What deadly spiritual problem can all that distraction cause? John MacArthur shows you next on Grace to You. Lack of consistent extended prayer. Certainly, that's a danger that you and I face in this age of distraction. We've all had those moments. We close our eyes and we start to pray, and a few seconds pass and our thoughts drift to the day's schedule or tomorrow's meeting or next week's vacation. We refocus and start again, but the distractions continue, one right after the other. Talk about frustrating, struggling to pray more than just a few minutes at a time. So if even short prayer can be difficult for you, how can we possibly do what the Bible says and not just pray often, but pray without ceasing? How do you make prayer a constant thing? We'll consider that today on Grace to You as John MacArthur helps us find motivation to pray and make a connection between our prayer and the health of our church. And now to help you turn prayer into a consistent, lifelong habit, here's John MacArthur now to continue the study called The Bible-Driven Church.
I want to help you to get a grip on some motives for prayer. I want to give you 10 of them. Just a little grocery list here. 10 motives for prayer that I believe produce an unceasing prayer life. Number one is a desire for the Lord's glory. A desire for the Lord's glory. Prayer, Jesus said, should start this way. Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Now what you're praying when you pray there is that God would be glorified, that God's purposes would be accomplished, that God's name would be exalted, that God's will would be done. That's what you're praying. You're not praying for yourself, you're praying for Him. Yes, the first motive for prayer is a desire for the Lord's glory. When your heart longs that God be glorified, you're going to find yourself praying to that end. You're going to find yourself in an unceasing cry to God, be exalted, be glorified, be lifted up, accomplish your purpose, build your kingdom, do your will. Secondly, a second motive to prayer is a desire for fellowship with God. A desire for fellowship with God. The psalmist so beautifully gave words to this truth in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Now there is a longing for God. There is a heart crying out for fellowship, the feeling of being estranged from God, the feeling of being cut off, the feeling of loneliness that reaches out and says, God, I want your fellowship. I want your company. I want your presence. Psalm 63, more magnificent words. O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. I just want to see you. I just want to be with you. I just want to experience your wonder. In Psalm 84, the first two verses there, again, how lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. The longing to be in the presence of God. And maybe most magnificently of all, Psalm 27. Just listen to these wonderful words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. I just want to be where He is. Do you have that? Do you have that longing for fellowship, sweet communion? There's a third prompter to prayer, to incessant, unceasing prayer, and that's a desire for needs to be met. A desire for needs to be met. Not only ours, but those around us. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus taught us to say in Matthew 6:11. It is right to pray that our needs would be met. It is right to ask God for the basic things of life. That's a prompter to prayer. Few of us, however, are prompted in that way because we have so much, so much. But there are across this world many folks who pray to God regularly just for their daily needs to be met. We don't understand that in this affluent culture, but it is the way of life for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Fourth motive for persistent prayer is a desire for wisdom. James put it this way, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and holds back nothing. If you are under the illusion that you don't need the wisdom of God, you are really deceived, are you not? When Jesus taught us to pray, he said this, pray like this, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I really do believe that that is a prayer for spiritual discernment. That is a prayer for spiritual wisdom. Lord, please, by your Spirit, give me the ability to discern when I am facing a temptation. Give me the wisdom to discern when I am being led into something which is evil. We need to be incessantly praying that. We need to be praying all the days of our lives, Lord, please deliver me from temptation and do not lead me in an evil way. Give me the wisdom and the discernment and the insight and the scriptural sensitivity and the leading of the Spirit of God so as not to allow me to fall into Satan's traps and the traps of the flesh and the world. What prompts prayer? Incessant prayer, a desire for the glory of God, a desire for fellowship with Him, a desire for needs to be met, and a desire for wisdom in walking through the minefield that is this world. Number five, prayer is prompted by a desire for deliverance from trouble. A desire for deliverance from trouble. There are so many texts in the Psalms that speak of this. Let me sum them up in one that says it all. Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And surely He will. Surely He will. When we come to those times of great distress, they tend to prompt our unceasing prayer, don't they? And the greater the trouble and the greater the distress that we have found ourselves in, very often it's because we failed to ask for wisdom, and so we fell in the trap in our ignorance, and now we need to be delivered from it, and there is no human way out. We cry out to God for deliverance. We come to God in those times of tremendous trouble, pressure, stress, pain, affliction, and we need His deliverance. That prompts our unceasing prayer. Six. A desire for relief from fear and worry. A desire for relief from fear and worry. That will make us pray if we are wise and spiritually minded. In Philippians chapter 4, we need so often to be reminded of this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you're in fear and anxiety and worry, you are in distress, you are in depression, what should you do? Very simply, stop being anxious and go to prayer. And pray with a thankful heart and the peace of God, which surpasses all human comprehension, will protect your heart and mind. What does it mean? Guard it from anxiety, guard it from depression, distress, fear, worry. If you want a comprehensible, humanly comprehensible solution, go to a person. If you want a humanly incomprehensible solution, go to God. In the time of fear, in the time of worry, in the time of anxiety, in the time of emotional distress and pain, the formula is simple. Just go to the Lord in persistent, continual, unceasing prayer with thanksgiving, and the peace of God promised will guard your heart and mind. Why do people go to other sources than that? When you want that relief from fear and worry, our God has promised it is yours through prayer. Number 7, another motive to prayer is a desire to offer thanks for past blessing. A desire to offer thanks for past blessing. If you have a thankful heart, if you're a thankful person, and if you remember all that God has done in all His goodness, it'll make you pray, if for no other reason than just to say thanks. In Psalm 44, the psalmist says, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that Thou didst in their days, in the days of old. Thou with Thine own hand didst drive out the nations, then Thou didst plant them, then Thou didst afflict the peoples, then Thou didst spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy presence, for Thou didst favor them. Thou art my King, O God. That's just praise. And that's not praise for anything God had done for him. That's praise for what God had done for others in the past. Learning to be thankful to God for all that He has done throughout redemptive history. Having a grateful heart on behalf of all the good things God has done, not just for you. The Apostle Paul writes the Philippians, and he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. My prayer is always offered with joy in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I just can't help but pray all the time, thanking God for what He's doing in your life. And what He has done and is doing. If you really are grateful to God for all that He has done, it's going to prompt you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Number 8. Here is a very important motive to prayer, and that is a desire to be freed from the guilt of sin. A desire to be freed from the guilt of sin. That classic penitential psalm, Psalm 32, speaks to this. And I'm only giving you select scriptures out of many that could be used in these points. But listen to Psalm 32 and hear this. Starting in verse 3, just to give you the flow, when I kept silent about my sin, David says, my body wasted away. I had psychosomatic illness as a result of guilt. I was groaning all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, my life juices were drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I was a mess. I was a mess. The life juices have to do with the blood flow system, saliva system, the nervous system, which is conducted by fluid. All my life juices were dried up. Saliva was dried up. The flow of blood wasn't right. Therefore, I had physiological problems. My nervous system was haywire. I was a wreck. I had a fever. I was moaning. Verse 5, he says, then I acknowledged my sin to thee. My iniquity I didn't hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. I confessed and you forgave. Then back to the beginning of the psalm, he says this, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord doesn't impute iniquity and in whose spirit there's no deceit. The deceit is over. You're not covering the sin. You've opened it up. You confessed it and now you're forgiven and now you're blessed. Yes, Prayer, incessant, unceasing, penitential confession is prompted by a desire to be freed from the guilt of sin. Number 9. Another motive to prayer is a desire for the salvation of the lost. A desire for the salvation of the lost. You will be moved to persistent prayer when you are compassionately concerned about lost people. They're all around us. They're all around us. And if you care about their salvation, there'll be an almost unceasing commitment to pray as they cross your path and your mind. Listen to Romans 10:1. Brethren, says Paul, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Paul says, I'm praying for their salvation. I cannot see unsaved people and not pray for their salvation. Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is told by Paul that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he says, now I want men to lift up holy hands, praying always. And what are they praying for? The salvation of the lost people for whom God has provided a salvation. Desire for the salvation of the lost prompts prayer. If you don't pray unceasingly, then something is wrong with your compassion for the lost. And number 10, incessant, ceaseless prayer is prompted by a desire for the spiritual growth of believers. A desire for the spiritual growth of believers. In Ephesians, for example, chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And what are you praying for, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. I'm praying for you. Well, what are you praying for? Your wisdom, your knowledge, your enlightenment, your hope. I'm praying for the power of God to be released in your life. I'm praying for your spiritual growth. Chapter 3. Verse 14, he says, I bow my knees before the Father, and I'm praying for you. What are you praying? Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. I'm praying for spiritual power. Verse 17, I'm praying that Christ may settle down in your hearts, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would understand that love that surpasses knowledge. Verse 19, and that you would be filled with the fullness of God. And verse 20, that you would do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. I'm praying for your spiritual growth. We have a lot to pray for, don't we? What moves you to pray? When you desire the Lord's glory, when you desire fellowship with him, when you desire needs be met by the one who alone has the resources, when you desire wisdom and discernment, when you desire deliverance from the troubles of life, when you desire relief from fear, anxiety, and worry, when you desire to offer thanks for all his past and present blessings, when you desire to be freed from guilt and sin, when you desire the salvation of others, and when you desire the development and growth of the believers. There should be in your life enough reminders of these things to keep you praying all the time, right? So do a little spiritual inventory. If you're not praying without ceasing, it's because something is wrong at the desire level. Something is wrong in the underlying motivational level. How do you prompt that? From my own life, years of experience, I can only tell you that my prayer life is prompted by the Word of God. It is my time in the discipline of the Word of God and the study of the Word of God that prompts my prayer life. Oh, there are other times when the Spirit of God moves upon me as I'm living in obedience to the Lord that I'm prompted to pray, of course. But if I want to develop a real longing for God to be glorified, then I find that that longing is developed out of a study of His Word. As I see His Word unfold and His marvelous plan, I'm like Daniel. Once I read what God has planned for His own future glory, then the longing begins to rise in my heart that He be glorified. It is like John, who at the end of the book of Revelation has just told all the glories that are going to come to Christ, and he can't help but cry out, oh, Lord, come quickly. And it's not for my sake, it's for yours. So as I gaze at the glorious plan of God outlined in the Word of God, I become consumed with His kingdom and His glory that prompts me to pray to that end. As I study the Word of God and in it, I fellowship with God as He reveals Himself in the Word. As I learn more about His person and His character and the majesty of who He is, I have a greater desire to fellowship with Him. As I study my Bible and find all His promises and all the things He longs to do for His children and how He will meet all of our needs and how He will provide everything, I am therefore prompted to pray to that end. As I read the Scripture and study it and find His majesty revealed in His wisdom, His amazing discernment, His perfect understanding of everything, it causes me to long for that same wisdom to be my wisdom so that I can work my way through this difficult world. As I read the Scripture and see the chronicle of the times He has delivered His people over and over and over and the promises that He has given that He will always do the same for His people, it prompts me to pray for deliverance from the troubles of my own life and the lives of those around me. And when I look at the Scripture and find how many of His special beloved servants were delivered from fear and worry and anxiety, how many of them sang hymns in jail, and how many of them could stand on the edge of a fiery furnace and praise the God who had allowed them to come there because they so completely trusted Him, it allows me to be relieved from my own fear, my own worry. As I realize that I can cast all my care on Him, knowing He perfectly cares for me, I am delivered from anxiety. As I study my Bible also, and find the record of all His past blessings and His past deeds and the glories of all of redemptive history and all that He has done to bring redemptive history to where it is now that I might experience the glories of the gospel of Christ and the blessings of His indwelling Spirit and the treasure of His Word, it causes me to offer thanks for His blessings. And as I look at the Scripture and I see the perfect forgiveness provided in Jesus Christ, the majesty of the plan of atonement and how it is worked out by grace, through faith in my own life and how that I have access to complete forgiveness and cleansing every moment of my life, it leads me to confess my sins. And as I see the tears of God in Jeremiah 13 and the tears of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel chapter 23, tears that are shed for those that refuse salvation and refuse the goodness of God, it makes me desire the salvation of the lost even as God does. And as I see the longing revealed in Scripture of God's heart for His people to grow spiritually, the continual call from the beginning of the Scripture to the end to His people to live in obedience and holiness, it reminds me to pray for the spiritual growth of believers. So, if I want to have a persistent, consistent prayer life, I'm going to have certain desires in my heart that generate that, that motivate that. Those desires become in my life the fruit of my faithful, intense study of God's Word, which reveals these things to me in fresh, new ways every time I study it, and therefore prompts my own prayer life. Rarely do I ever come out of a study time in the Word of God without a new kind of commitment to pray in one dimension or another, more faithfully than I have. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. In saying it, he said much. It is to be our way of life.
Why should you take time out of each day to be alone, to turn off the technology, to block out every distraction, and just pray? John MacArthur showed you 10 motivations for that consistent, focused prayer on today's Grace to You. He's continued the study called The Bible-Driven Church. It's a series of lessons that examine Christian disciplines like prayer that will strengthen you and therefore strengthen your local church. Make it a local fellowship that honors God. Along with John MacArthur's teaching here on the radio, he is also president of the Master's College and Seminary, both schools in the Los Angeles area. John, I'm sure there are plenty of Christians who feel motivated to pray, who want to spend time with the Lord, but they're not sure how to get started. Any practical suggestions?
You know, I think the bottom line in spending time with the Lord is caring about the things that are in your life. If you care about your spiritual growth and you know the Lord is the source of that growth, you end up asking Him to be gracious to you, to give you victory over sin, to show you the truth in His Word so you can grow. If you care about the people in your world, those that don't know Christ, you're going to end up on your knees praying for their salvation. If you care for the people in your life who do know Christ but whose lives are lacking direction, you're going to end up asking the Lord to provide that for them. In other words, I don't think you can artificially create an environment of prayer. I think it has to rise out of your heart and out of a sense of burden for the things that are going on in your life and around you. I also think that prayer is generated by confidence in God and the belief that He hears and answers prayer, and that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people has great impact and power. Maybe a little bit of stimulation of those things would be helpful. Let me suggest two resources. The first is a book called Alone with God. It'll take you phrase by phrase through the disciples' prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Phrase by phrase, that's the model, that's the structure, that's the framework for how we pray at all times. You'll be benefited by this book, Alone with God. And then I would add to that book, At the Throne of Grace. That's the new book that recently came out. It's a collection of over 50 of the prayers that I have led my church congregation in over the years. It's a book of prayers that my family prevailed on me to do those because they feel they'll have a ministry with folks. A beautiful book, hardcover book, about 250 pages. This isn't instruction about prayer like Alone with God. This is prayer. And you'll benefit from both of these books available from Grace to You. And as I said, you're going to have to realize that your prayer life is an extension of your concern and your confidence in the Lord. But these will help stimulate that.
Together, these two books show you the essential biblical truth about prayer and help you put that truth into practice with 50 examples of John's pastoral prayers. They're sure to help you focus on your own thoughts and your own prayer. Pick up the book, Alone with God, and also the other book, At the Throne of Grace. Mention those titles when you contact us today. You can place your order for them online at gty.org or by calling our toll-free number anytime 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's 1-800-55-GRACE. The book, Alone with God, is designed to help you build the spiritual discipline of prayer. The cost of that is $10.50. And for some examples of God-centered prayers that can shape your thoughts when you talk to God, order the collection of John's pastoral prayers called At the Throne of Grace. The cost of that is $15. For all of these items, remember, shipping is free. You can place your order now online or by calling. The address, gty.org, and the phone number, 1-800-55-GRACE. Now, if you'd like to review John's current study, The Bible-Driven Church, you can download all 8 messages free in MP3 or transcript format online at gty.org. The website has all 3,000 of John's sermons available free, along with daily devotionals, a blog featuring articles by John and other staff members, and much more. So head to gty.org as often as possible and take advantage of the free Bible study tools there. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller, inviting you back tomorrow for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. How can you help your church make the most profound possible difference in today's changing times? John MacArthur shares some practical biblical strategy on tomorrow's Grace to You.